discussing the inspiration of the Word of God. And is it the King James Bible perfectly preserved? Is it an inerrant, infallible book? And Brother LaRue Hill, he asked us, he said, have you ever studied out or looked out the word Savior in the Word of God? And I hadn't. But he said that every time that it's used in the King James Bible, it is spelt S-A-V-I-O-U-R, having seven letters in it. And seven is a number of perfection. It's a number of completeness. It's a perfect number. It's a good number. And he said the word defined means redeemed, or redeemer, means a redeemer. He said if you look in all the other translations, they spell the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-R. And if that has six letters, and six is the number of man. And he said that word in a dictionary means to rescue. And he said man has the power to rescue, but only the Savior has the power to redeem. And I'm glad we have got an inerrant book tonight in the 1611 Bible. I don't think there's a mistake in it anywhere. If I believed that, I'd quit preaching. If I thought it was a work of man's hand, I'd quit preaching. These infidels that write some of these articles in newspapers need to get saved. That's right. Now, I don't mind calling them an infidel. That's what they are. They're infidels and God deniers and Bible deniers when they start telling me that the Word of God is only the work of man's own device. I'll never believe that. I'll never believe that. But I tell you, that's the work of the devil in the world that we're in. He wants to cast doubt on the Word of God. He wants to cast doubt in your mind as to the Word of God. But I'm glad we got a perfect book. We're going to look at it tonight. In fact, the book we're looking in tonight, Daniel chapter 1, is one of the books that many of those people deny. It's in its accuracy. They deny the book of Jonah. Man couldn't be swallowed by a whale, they say. But God said he did. And the reason that he could is because they forget one thing. That whale was prepared by God. Wasn't maybe a natural, just a little natural whale. It was one that was prepared by the Lord. You know, God showed Jonah mercy. Having that whale there, Jonah would have drowned if it hadn't been for that whale. He better thank God that whale was there. That whale saved his life and spit him up on dry land. While he was in the belly of that whale, it was a very uncomfortable place to be. While a sinner is deep under conviction, the power of God's on him, it's a pretty uncomfortable place to be. If you'll be like Jonah and cry out to God, he'll spit you up on dry land. Amen. Change a little bit. Daniel chapter number 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8. The Bible said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Amen. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. Now, I'm going to stop reading right there for the sake of time this evening and ask the Lord's blessings on the text. And I ask you to pray with Brother Hall. Our Father, we thank you for the day that you've given. Thank you for the day that we can rejoice and be glad in. Thank you for the day of Calvary. Thank you for the day of deliverance, for the day of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the morning hour, and your people that were here and the preaching. And thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll quicken the Word of God to hearts tonight. There's folks here that are sinners. They're lost and need to be saved. And I pray, oh God, that you'll show mercy and grace and deliver from sin those that are bound by its power. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help the preacher tonight. I stand in great need of God's divine help, your Spirit to anoint and grant liberty and unction. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me tonight, control my thoughts and my physical body as well as my spiritual man. Help me to say something that'll be an encouragement to your people. And Lord, as a man of God said this morning, help us, I pray, to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your will and your way in every heart and every life. Do a great work of grace, Lord, that'll last for all eternity. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want us tonight, if by the help of the Lord, to look at verse number 12 for just a few minutes. Where the Bible says there, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me, on power in the pulse. Power in the pulse. Daniel said, just prove us 10 days and give us pulse to eat and see if we're not fairer in our countenance than those that partake of the king's meat. Those others would be dining on the king's meat and drinking the king's wine. But Daniel and his companions would have only pulse to eat and water to drink. Doesn't seem like a great deal to me, just pulse. In fact, it could have very well been pinto beans. Ain't much wrong with a good plate of taters and beans, my friend. That's mighty fine eating. But in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar and his people, it was absolutely a strange diet indeed. And something that did not appear to have enough power to do much for those that dined upon it. But I'm reminded, my friend, that those things that appear to be small in the eyes of man, if they are in the hand of God, they're very powerful. And God can take that which is simple and do great and mighty things with it. And I see a great power in this pulse. It had the ability to do what the king's meat could not do. It had the ability to shape and mold the lives of these four Hebrew boys and make them strong and stalwart Christians for the honor and the glory of God. Now, I want to say to you, there are some things in the spiritual world that does not seem to have a great deal of significance to you and I. But I want to remind you that it's those very little things that sometimes appear to be insignificant to us that God will take and use to mature us and grow us in grace and knowledge and mature us and make us strong for the honor and the glory of God. Pulse doesn't seem like much, but I tell you, Daniel had great confidence in that pulse. I want to tell you, we ought to have great faith tonight in the things of the Word of God. We ought to have great faith in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad the Holy Ghost dwells within us and there is a great power there. Although we cannot see that power, within ourselves, but there is a great power there, my friend, that has the ability to transform you and I from nothing but wildlings and sinners into creatures that will bring glory and honor to Almighty God. I want to thank Him for the church. Somebody said, preacher, the church ain't much. Oh, my friend, I thank God for the house of God where we can come and sit under preaching. I want to say this to you tonight. The Bible said that He's chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And my friend, I believe He's talking about delivering those that believe. Not necessarily delivering a sinner from sin, but delivering those that believe. Have you ever come to church and felt like, my friend, there was nowhere to go, nowhere to look, felt like everybody had deserted you, and the preacher get up to preaching the Word of God, and boy, I'll tell you, God would begin to do a work down in your heart and charge your soul. And when you left because of the preaching of the Word of God, you had been delivered from the problem and trouble that you were facing. I'll never forget, years ago, I sat on a front row pew right in this church. In fact, I told Brother Thompson at Brother Calvert's. He got ready to leave one night. I said, Brother Doug, I said, thank you for Samson. He looked at me. I said, thank you for Samson. Amen. And he looked at me. He said, oh, I remember now, Brother Hall. Oh, it was that night, my friend, years ago, back in probably 1988, 89. Yes, 1989. I sat on that front row under bondage to this church. Yes, sir, but old Brother Thompson got a preaching that night on Samson. And how God eventually, oh, He lost His eyesight and they bound Him in fetters. But there come a time when His hair began to grow again and that power returned again. And God brought old Samson off of that wheel down in the prison house. Boy, I'm telling you, through the preaching, Brother Andy, God began to work in my heart. And I could see myself in bondage to people, worrying about what people thought about me, worrying about my preaching, whether it was satisfying the people or whether it was accomplishing what the people thought it ought to do. And I'm telling you, on that wonderful night, God said, son, don't worry about satisfying people. Just get up, pray back, preach the Word of God, and worry about satisfying Almighty God. And I tell you, God, my friend, through the preaching, delivered me from that Philistine prison house that night. He'll deliver you through preaching if you'll let Him. You can sit and mully, grub, whine, cry, bellyache, moan, groan, fuss, carry on all you want. And I'm telling you, the problem you're having is because you have not listened, my friend, to the preaching of the Word of God that has the power to deliver you.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Pulse. I'm glad there's power in that pulse. There's enough power that after 10 days, Daniel and those other three boys was fatter, fleshier, and their countenance was far better than those that had been dining on the king's meat. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Come on in the house now. You can always look on the countenance of God's people and recognize those that have been dining on pulse and those that have been dining on the king's meat. I'm telling you, friend, there's always a difference in the countenance of those that have been sitting down and feasting on the riches of God's wonderful grace. Hallelujah. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than A-double-L all of my sin. Amen. I'm glad it is. Amen to God. You can tell the difference then, folks. You better believe it. I told them people, not Brother Calvert, I said, I'm glad there's not a Paramount cucumber factory in town. They looked at me kind of strange. I said, if there was every one of you, it'd be in a jug of kosher dills. I never seen folks so downbeaten in all my life. I'm going to tell you, the problem is you're not dining at the table of the king, friend. You're not enjoying the riches of God's grace. You still are messing around at the king of that world table. And I'm telling you, my friend, if you'd ever learn that the simple things as reading your Bible and a few minutes in prayer time and coming to the house of God will do a great work, there's power in that pulse, my friend. Yes, sir, there's power in the pulse. Amen to God. That is right. Now, old Daniel and his three companions that was as much of a, in a worldly environment as a man could get. Wouldn't you agree to that? You couldn't get no more in a worldly environment than what they were in. They all three bear heathen names. They were being educated in heathen ways. And they were eating the heathen food. I mean, friend, they were set right in the middle of a heathen hostile society. But my Bible tells me that through the pulse that they were eating and the water they were drinking, my friend, that they overcame the situation that they were in. Oh, yes, and walked in the power of Almighty God. I want to say this to you tonight. A person may just be a young teenager, but a young teenager saved by the grace of God, if they'll appropriate the grace of God in their life, they can, by God's help, even sit in a public school, my friend, and have victory in the Lord Jesus. You better say amen right there. Hallelujah to God. We've just about isolated ourselves instead of insulating ourselves. That pulse insulated Daniel and those boys, and they had the power to repel the attacks of the devil in the midst of a crooked and a perverse society. Yes, sir. Amen to God. They were in a worldly atmosphere, no doubt about it. They were in the world, but they were not of the world. We are in this world, but we don't have to be of the world. I don't have to sit down and feed my soul on Hollywood. Amen, that's right. I don't have to hang out downtown, my friend, and look at all the ungodly sights that are there. That is right. I don't have to frequent places where sin is rampant. Oh, no, I don't have to die about my mind on nudity and ungodliness. Oh, no, I am in this world, but thank God there come a day in my life when I'm saved by the grace of God, and I've been translated, my friend, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I am not waiting to be a part of that heavenly kingdom. I'm already a part of it. We are seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places, my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. They were in the world, but not of the world. They give them a title and change their name, but they couldn't change their nature. I have been made a partaker of God's divine nature. And it doesn't matter what the world says, what they call me. They can call me Holy Joe, Holy Roller. Oh, yeah, they can call me narrow-minded, tight-laced, whatever. Oh, yes, they can give me all kinds of worldly names and hang worldly hats, but they'll never change my nature. Oh, no, my friend, I met Jesus at Calvary one day, and God imputed His righteousness into my soul, and I became a part of God's divine and holy nature. This world can't change that. That's why I'm in church tonight. I don't have a hog's nature no more. I'm not at the hog trough rooting in the king's meat. No, sir, I'm not out. I'm not smoking dope and rooting in the king's meat. I'm not sipping suds and rooting in the king's meat. I'm not over at St. Louis Bush Stadium rooting in the king's meat. Oh, no, I'm not even over at Rupp Arena rooting in the king's meat. No, sir, I'm at the house of God. I'm glad, thank God, I got a little bit of pulse in my soul tonight. Yes, sir, and a little drink of water. And, brother, I'm a fine sign tonight. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Some of y'all look like warmed over death. My goodness. That's right. They can change They can change a man's culture, and they did. They took them out of Jerusalem down into Zion or down into Babylon. But they could not change their character. Daniel said, I purpose not to defile myself. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, it is high time God's people realize that we have got a character, a divine character, that we need to live up to. Ain't that much character in our Baptist churches. Folks can look you right in the face and lie to you like a dog. Don't pay their bills. Dishonest. Oh, yes, sir. Lie like dog. Oh, come on. In the house. Where is our character in life? There was a time when man's word was his word and a handshake was his word. But it ain't that way anymore. I know Baptists, so-called saved Baptists, that have built up big bills and filed bankruptcy and talked about spoiling the Egyptians in doing it. And then I know Baptist preachers that have rubbed shoulders with them and tried to tell me everything's all right. Hogwash. Son, you don't become a professional thief if you got the character of a child of God. God's people pay their bills, my friend. That's right. I know sometimes folks get in a hard spot and sometimes they have to do some things that they don't like to do. But they don't deliberately beat people out of money and steal from people. No, sir. Amen to God. You can write and tell them I said so. Come on in the house, folks. Hey, Daniel had no power. Now listen carefully. No power to prevent his captivity. He was there and there was not a thing he could do about it. You agree to that? But also he knew that only he could defile himself by his own behavior. Oh yes, son. I'm sick of preachers talking about how wicked the world is and it's caused the church to become that way and preachers have gotten that way. Oh no, I'm telling you, my friend, there's only one way that we can defile our own selves, and that is by our own conduct and behavior that we have ourselves. That queer down there can't defile me. Now, I'm going to preach against him. He's a trouble to society, but as far as defiling my holy character and nature, he can't do that. That liquor crowd out there can't defile me. And you know why? I don't have to go out there and drink with them. Cigarette suckers can't defile me on the inside. Now, they can make a man smell like he just come out of hell, but they can't defile his soul. That's right. Are y'all listening? Have I lost you? Daniel made a request to the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And God brought Daniel, according to verse number 9, God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Friend, it is a marvelous thing how the Lord works on both ends if we use a little common sense and courtesy. Daniel didn't put his finger in that man's face and say, bless God, I am a Christian and I ain't about to defile myself with your mess. He said, I request. I request. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with common courtesy. That's right, just being courtesy, just being courteous to people. And I'm going to tell you, God worked on both ends. When he saw the sincerity and the kindness of Daniel's heart and the way Daniel approached that man, Daniel didn't approach him with some arrogant spirit, amen, cocky attitude. Right. It ain't no wonder we can't win the lost to God. We've gotten so cocky and so high-minded, son, that we want lost men and lost women to act like we do that have been saved. And it's like the preacher said this morning, they can't do it. It's beyond their power. It takes a supernatural power working in their life to change them. I'm going to tell you, being arrogant and hateful and cocky ain't going to win nobody to God. Preacher said this morning, we talk about the way people come to church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want to say something right there. I don't want no saved people coming in here, women in their breeches and men half naked. Well, that bald naked guy to walk in here one night, if I'd have been here, I'd have burned up his hind end with a wooden paddle.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody asked him, what would you have done if you'd have been here? I'd have took that wooden board in there and burned him up, buddy.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I don't think saved folk, once a man gets saved, he's got a responsibility to God and to the church to live a life that is becoming to the saints of God in holiness. But I'm going to tell you, just like these little girls over here, they're lost. They don't know any better than what they're doing. I'd like to preach to them tonight. Oh, yes, I'd like to see them saved by the good grace of God, but they don't know a bit more than what they're doing is all right. They don't have the leadership of God in them, but I will tell them this, that without holiness, they will not see God. That's the Bible.
Amen.
They don't know any better. People out there don't know a bit better than to do what they're doing. They're doing naturally. You know what the word nature means? That's why I don't believe that a child of God's got two natures. I believe we're in this flesh, but we don't have two natures. Nature means that what we do, that which is natural for us to do. And I'm here to tell you, if I've still got a sin nature, it is just as natural for me to sin as it is to live right. But I do not have that sin nature. I've got a divine holy nature, and that holy nature, my friend, causes me to do that which is right.
Amen.
I'm still in this flesh, and it's still sinful, and it's never been quickened yet. It's not been redeemed yet. It's still dead, and the wages of sin is still ruling in this body of clay. And I've yet got to deal with it. But I'm telling you, friend, it'd be an unnatural thing for a child of God to belly up to a bar and drink a can of beer.
That's
not natural. Not natural for a child of God to commit whoredoms and adulteries. Oh, no, that's totally shacking up. My God. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, we've got to the point now where Baptist men and women can shack up and sit on the pews and churches in the house of God, and preachers won't say a thing about it. I just learned yesterday that a fellow I went to Bible college with, and I'm not calling his name, you wouldn't know him if I did, but he's pastored a church now for about 10 or 11 years, started in a little storefront building with just a handful of people, built a church up to 125 or 30 people, been there for 10 or 11 years, and his right-hand man, one of the best men in the church, always right there, Johnny on the spot, there was work to do, he was there. If they was in revival, he was there. If there was anything, oh, I'm talking about a real servant. And it just came out that man has been fondling little girls in the church house. And it just so happened that some of those little girls were the pastors. And the pastor said, I'm pressing charges. And his wife said, please don't. I don't want our little girl to be brought under such a scrutiny. An interrogation from the police, found out it was a lot of other little girls. And some of the other mamas said, we don't want you to prosecute, put our children through all that. Well, it come to find out later that man had been running over to preacher's house and helping the preacher's wife clean house while the preacher was out on visitation. I'm going to tell you, friend, there's a little problem. I'm going to tell you why none of them women didn't want that man prosecuted. It'd come out that probably them women have a little hanky-panky along with that man also. And I said all that to say this. I know that boy, and he don't preach against any sin. Oh, just talk about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. I'm telling you, talk about Jesus, and that's all you talk about. You'll have some egg-sucking devil, my friend, molesting your children on the very church property that we're worshiping God on. I'm going to blow it out if God lets me. I'm going to tell you, I don't have any use for a man that will pervert little boys and girls. He's sick. Sin sick. Now guess what? That woman done sued that preacher for divorce. God help us. I don't know how I got off on all that. I know how. You think that's natural? You think that's a natural thing? God to help us. God to help us. We need some pulse. Some of you in here tonight need some pulse. There's power in the pulse. There's power in that water. There's power in the pulse of God. I'm talking about the simple things that some of you think are so simple you don't want to be bothered with 30 minutes of reading your Bible or 5 minutes of prayer time. Simple things, but I'm telling you, my friend, there's power in that pulse. Better believe they are. Amen to God. And here is God working on the prince of the eunuchs the same time he is Daniel. Daniel said, "Sir, I don't want to defile myself." He said, "The king will have my head. The king will have my head." And Daniel said, "Just prove us 10 days. Try, give us 10 days. He said, "You got 3 years, give us 10 days and prove us. And see if we don't fare out better eating pulse and drinking water than they do, eating the king's meat and drinking wine." Sure enough, after 3 days, 10 days, their countenances was fairer than those that had been eating the king's meat. Amen? That is right. That's right. And here's God working on both. You know when the Bible said that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies at rest with at peace with him? Woo! Hallelujah unto God. Now, I want to remind us here that Daniel is a teenager. All you young folks, hey, listen to your preacher tonight. He's a teenager. Be assured, teenagers, that the decisions that you make while you're a teen matter in your life. The decision that Daniel made when he said, "I will not defile, I purposed in my heart that I will not defile myself," a 17-year-old boy was shaping his life, my friend, for all time and eternity. It does make a difference what kind of decision you make. I just say no. Just say no. I'm telling you, there is some old boy somewhere, girls that just are waiting. Oh yes, to drag you into the back seat of an automobile. Just one little toke off of this little weed girl. It'll make you forget all about your trouble. It will for about 15 minutes, and then the same troubles that you had will come right back to haunt you 15 minutes later. I'm going to tell you there's one antidote to worldly troubles. Praise God, that's the blood of the living Lamb. Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir, that's a good antidote. You boys in here. J.W. Jacob. You better start making some real decisions in your life, boys. 17 years old, and he said, "Sir, I request that I will not, that I may not defile myself." And here's kids in this room tonight that can't wait to get out there in it. And here's a young teenager that was doing his best to stay out of it. God help us. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We don't even strive against sin anymore. Sit down and let sin cover us like a, my friend, dust. Covers the furniture, it ain't dusted. You ain't left me yet, have you? Say one more thing quickly. And I'll get into the message. But I see here a demonstration of both the grace and the power of God. Yes. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. I see grace. I see Daniel and his companions enjoying the provision of divine grace. Yes. It was by grace that they resisted the king's meat. Yes. And hey, and the king and the eunuchs and all others was just about ready to see a demonstration of the power of God. God in grace, my friend, enabled old Daniel to live on pulse and water But it turned out to be the divine power of God working in. Oh, I'm telling you, if there's ever higher, we need the power of the Holy God working in our lives to transform us into saints of God, that we might be obedient unto the Word of God and walk in all the ways of God. Son, it's right now tonight in 2002. Amen. That's right. Grace of Word. We don't have to get out and ramble in the mess they're in. I want the world to see the power of God in my life. And I want these young boys and girls to see the power of God in my life. That's right. I don't have to cuss, dip, chew. Come on in the house now. And I don't intend to run with the crowd. Do. Had a professor Hart woman sat back there one night. She had done spit and snuff juice all in the ladies' bathroom and all over everything. I went to her and I said, "Now you can't dip that snuff in the house." She said, "That's not snuff. That's not chewing tobacco. That's chewing gum." I said, "Sure has got a black color to it now."
Yeah.
I said, "Don't what's in that styrofoam cup? God help us." Son, where is grace in our life? You want me to bring her down and apply it? God will give us grace to sit in that room back there and raise money, fellas. God will give us grace if we can't take 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days out of a whole year and get our mind set on God and on doing the will of God. If we can't turn up, hey, if we can't get in 1 18-hour service one day a year, we better hang up our spurs and stuff. We need to get back there and turn that speaker up and play that old music like, let's see, what's that song we used to play all the time? I ain't heard it in so long. Rusty sang it. Brother Rusty! Because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. And the other one was what, Brother Doug? Who am I? Who am I that a king would bless? We used to sit back there, keep our mouths shut, set the kids down, and listen to Rusty Goodman break our hearts in that song and rejoice in God, having the power of God upon us, and have victory in our marathons. Amen. I long for it again, y'all. Remember the night? Hey, we had ladies running barefoot in White Rocks around here one night on a pledge that never did come in.
Amen.
Son, if we could hit the White Rocks on a phony marathon pledge, surely to God we'd hit the White Rocks barefooted on the promises of God that are all real. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Oh, yes. My request, no. Woo! I tell you what, son. Yes, I like it. I like it to get soupy, hot, blooded, juicy, pray. God, the tears and the snot are rolling and the fire of God coming in. Yes, sir. I long for it. You girls ain't never seen that, have you? You ain't never seen the power of God come in on a bunch of people, have you? Have you? Did you get any of it on you?
Yeah.
You did? What happened? Did it fall off? Huh?
Started shaking.
Y'all done business with God, huh?
Amen.
Started shaking.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, the power." Oh, yes, I'm going to tell you, the power of God can make a man or a woman shake.
Amen.
She ain't telling no lie.
Amen.
Felix did, didn't he? What's going on around? Son, there's a ghost in town, and his name is Holy.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, sir. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
I feel like shouting her out, praise God, and getting out in the parking lot myself. I told Miss Holm we pulled in the garage today. I said I feel a rise in the spirit, son. I feel a rise in the spirit. I feel water coming on one of these days. hallelujah to God. I feel the Holy Ghost a tugging and a falling on your hearts and a speaking to your soul and a move in your spirit. God wants to move in here. Yes, sir. Amen to God. Amen. By only eating puffs, God's diet, Daniel and his friends would exceed all others in knowledge, skill, learning, and wisdom. Exceeded everybody else. Eating puffs. Oh, there must be some power in that puff, ain't there? I can basically come on in the house now. I'm going to preach for about 15 minutes and we'll get out here by 8 o'clock. But I want to say, hey, what was that power? It can only be explained by one thing. Daniel had just come there from Judah, from Jerusalem. Amen. That power had to be in what? Had to be in the knowledge that Daniel already possessed from being a prophet. But I'm telling you, come on back now. God does not put a price tag on ignorance. He don't put a premium, church, on a man's ignorance of the Word of God. You know what the Bible says? I've got the verse, but I didn't write down where it's located. I believe it might be in Hosea, it might be in Malachi. I'd have to find it. But he said, my people are destroyed. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. It ain't no wonder we can't fight the devil. It ain't no wonder we can't fight the world. What do we know tonight? Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved. The workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm going to tell you something else he told Timothy. He said, until I come, give attention to reading, Timothy. Read something. That's where some of you kids in here, that's the reason you can't pass the test back there when you take your face test, is because you try to take the test before you ever read the content. In reading, that will give you knowledge of what's in there. It's like that book will give you knowledge of what's in it. But, I'm telling you, we are not being destroyed from what we're not doing. We're being destroyed from what we don't know. Amen. I heard Wilbur Hurt give this illustration a long time ago. He said he come in one, said this old farmer come in one time, said his wife had been there churning butter. He said she had a big thing of butter sitting out there. And she said, honey, while I was churning that, said a mouse jumped in that cream. Said, I just scooped the mouse on out and went ahead and churned it. Said, I wonder if we could take this butter down that mouse has been in and trade it to the man down at the store for another pound of butter. Said, after all, said there ain't nothing wrong with butter. Said, it's just the thought of it. And said, you know what you don't know. What you don't know won't hurt you. What you don't know won't hurt you. That man said, that's right. It'd be bad for us. We know a mouse has been in. So he took the butter down to the store, walked in, told the man, said, hey, a mouse got in this. Said, I wonder, said if we could trade it for a pound of your butter. Said, mouse been in. Said, we just can't eat it. But said, it ain't hurt. Said, what a man don't know won't hurt him. That man just walked in the back room, took the butter out of the old man's wrapper, put it in one of the store wrappers, walked back out and set it on the counter and said, there you are, sir. Said, you're absolutely right. You know what you don't know won't hurt you. But I'm telling you, what you don't know will hurt you. Man that don't know about the cross is going to hell. The man that don't know the Christ of the cross is going to hell. I'm telling you, son, we need to have a knowledge of the Savior. We need to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this in Sunday school, maybe the morning hour, and the preaching, I don't know, let me say it again. We need to have a knowledge of the Savior. Old brother Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed. and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know, not just I know what I believe, but I know who I believe. Paul said, I know the Christ that died on the cross. That's why he could say in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, folks are dying today. Folks are being defeated today because there is a lack of knowledge of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. You really know him. I know I know him. I know there's an Empire State Building. I know somebody built it. I know that. But I don't know the man that designed it. A lot of people know the cross, but they don't know the man that designed it. Well, I believe in the cross. Well, hoop to do the devils believe and tremble, sir. Do you know the Christ of the cross? God help us to know about Jesus. More about Jesus. Would I know more of his saving? I can't even sing the song. More of his grace to others show. Hallelujah to God. No more of that is love. No more of that is life. No more of that is liberty. Oh yes. No more of that is word, ways, wisdom, and wonders, and miracles, and marvels of the grace of God. What do you really know about it? I wonder if we really know the Christ of the cross. Or you just know a little bit about it. Is he a stranger to you? Them men walked along the road to Emmaus. Said, surely you're a stranger in town. Didn't even know him. Mary Magdalene kissed his feet. Wept on his feet, wiped him with the hairs of the head, and then the gardener of the resurrection didn't know him. Amen. Now, if he'd have been there in that old body, she'd have known him. Right. You're going to have to get to know him in that glorified body. Yes. Oh, that brought a thought. We might know him about the cross in a physical body, but do you know him as the ascended, glorified, oh yes, wonderful God of all the universe? Do you know him as a glorified God? Woo! Hallelujah, children. I'm here to tell you, hey, you young people in here ought to get to know him. He'll be the best friend you ever had, son. I'm glad they're the friend, brother, and they're sticking closer than a brother. He'll get in that 18-wheeler with you riding down that interstate highway and crawl up in the cab with Brother Jerome. And when you pillow your head at night, you can look over and say, thank you, Jesus, for riding every step of the way with me, glory. Oh, God, hallelujah, that is wonderful name. I wonder if we really know the Savior. Do you know the cross? Do you know the Christ of the cross? I want to know more about him. We're dying because we don't even understand his love. But God, who is rich in mercy with great love, wherewith he loved us. What love. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, Brother Billy, I didn't know much about the love of God. I didn't, because, hey, I didn't know much about, I didn't have much wisdom. But Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. You get to know Jesus, you'll get a little wisdom about you. I know much about him at all. Didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know. I heard some preacher talk about one time, said about Adam's house cat. I said, I know he had cat. You talking about a dumb hick. When I first started pastoring over Rumsey, we went over here and baptized some folks one night over in Providence. And Rodney Proctor's brother-in-law come up to me, and we was talking, and he said, you know, Catholicism, man, he said, it's a terrible thing. He said, they believe in them wafers and wine, and they worship Mary and everything. I said, yeah. I said, you know, that sounds almost like a bunch of Catholics to me. I'm not joking you. I said that now. I know what that word Catholicism was. talking about dumb, son. I'm dumber than a box of rocks. I know how to read. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the central theme of that Bible. He is the main object of that Bible. And redemption of our soul is the purpose of that Bible. I'm glad, thank God, that He come to redeem our soul. Amen to God. Yes. Praise His wonderful name. I want to say, secondly, knowledge of the Scriptures. Want all you young people tonight, want all you, if you would, 16, if, don't let it embarrass you now. Just stand up for a minute, will you? I want to read something to you. Stand up now, 16, 17, on down, every one of you. Stand up, boy, stand up, girl. Look at these young kids. I'm talking about knowing this book. I'm talking about knowing, hey, I'm talking about a knowledge of this book. You listen to what Brother Paul says. He said, talking to Timothy, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and heard and been assured of. Knowing who thou hast learned them. And that from a child. That from a child, praise God, I'm telling you. It matters what Miss Ruth teaches them kids in that room back there. It matters what our young people are being taught. It matters what teenagers hear. It matters, my friend. It's a difference between pus and the king's meat. Said, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Woo! Thank God, search the Scriptures. For in them you think that you have eternal life. And these are they that speak of me. That's His wonderful name. You can sit down. Hallelujah to God. Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to be honest, girls. Brother Hall loves you. I want you to listen to me. I love you. Y'all can laugh and poke fun of you if you want to, but I'm going to tell you what. Go out to the graveyard and tell me people don't die. And as sure as they die, you're going to die.
Amen.
You are going to die.
Amen.
It's appointed unto man once
Amen.
To die.
Amen.
I love you, girl. Church ain't no laughing matter.
That's right.
Hell ain't no laughing matter. It ain't a place to laugh and
Amen.
Cut up. Or a place to be sober. I want to say thirdly, and I'm trying to hurry. I told you I'd try to quit the night. They had knowledge of the situation they were in. They knew where they were. Huh? What did I say? Hey, man, the days of visions and dreams and revelations is back. I want to ask something. Do you have any knowledge of the situation that we're in life today? They knew where they were. They knew the situation they were in. I wonder how many of God's people are really aware. Get what Brother Paul said. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This, know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Do we really know that? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, if we ain't living there, pat me on the back. Men loving men. And I don't say that necessarily in an immoral way. Now, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the plate is a great star that all the kids want to follow after, the great slugger that hit 70 home runs, Mr. Mark McGwire. But what Mr. Mark McGwire is not going to tell you is he shot himself full of steroids and pumped his muscles up. What he's not going to tell you, he'll probably die of cancer in a young man because he pumped himself up with steroids just to be a hero. You know why? I want to be loved of men. I want to be the top man. Son, the top man is at the right hand of God tonight. Amen. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fear, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Amen.
I want to say finally, fourthly, 8 o'clock. I believe he had a knowledge of the sacrifice. I ain't about to try to preach, Brother Smith. I'm going to tell you, you women, everybody in here, you ought to get a tape of what Brother Wayne taught in Sunday school this morning. The best I have ever heard him. Or to get a tape of it. Teaching on the sacrifice. And we just take it for granted that Jesus is our sacrifice. Know absolutely nothing about it. Do you know why he wouldn't defile himself? He said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Get a hold of this. Daniel knew that the portion of meat at the king's table would first be dedicated to some heathen god in sacrifice. And when Daniel sat down and began to eat that, what he's saying is, I agree with you. I agree with this heathen god. He is my God. I'm going to say, when we sit down in front of our boob tubes, hook onto our motorboats on Sunday, when we're in radio marathon, instead of being on marathon, we're on a pond bank, or we're out here hunting, or we're out here painting in a car, we're out in the garage piddling, I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We're eating the king's meat. I won't charge you none for that, man. Defiling ourselves with meat that's offered to idols. We're getting ready to go into won't be but just a short time that we'll have a jubilee. And I'm going to tell you, we lay out, put other things before. I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We're eating meat sacrificed to idols. Fellas, I'm going to be honest with you. I enjoy deer hunting, but I'm going to tell you right now, that deer standing out there cannot deliver me. Motorboats can't deliver. Fishing rods and fly rods can't deliver a man. Bowling balls. They can't deliver a man. And we put that stuff. And somebody said, now, preacher, all I got to be here is on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday night. That's, yeah. If you want to do no more than the heathens do, that's right. That's all you got to be here. I'm going to tell you something. If this church is in meeting, and you ain't here and you out fiddling doing something, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You eating meat sacrificed to idols. Listen carefully. I'm about done. Claiming a sacrifice is acknowledging guilt. That's why folks don't want anything to do with that sacrifice. It signifies that we're guilty. Somebody said, you got a text verse? I don't have time to read it all, but it says in Leviticus 5, verses 3, 5, and 6, and I put these together the best I can. It said, or if one touched the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. When we know, we're guilty. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he has done.
Amen.
See, when those people brought that lamb or ram or he-goat down to the high priest, they're saying, I am guilty. You know what the preacher said today? He said, and we weren't even talking about this, but we're talking about the Word of God. He said, Talking about people being ignorant. Talking about a doctor in Florida that got up and told people down there. He pastors a big church and got up and told some people in a small church. It wasn't nothing wrong. That they had a man there in the church. Had a man in the church, pastor. And after he'd been there 8 years, he confessed to him that he's double married. And only a little handful said, that's not right. And the rest of the church rose up and said, get this now. We don't care what the Bible says. He's been doing a good job. Let him alone. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Ignorance. But they're guilty. And they know they're guilty. And the only alternative they have is to know it, confess it, and come to that sacrifice for forgiveness. That's right. Knowledge is sacrifice is an acknowledgement of our guilt, and it's also, hey, that sacrifice, get me now. You know why some of you still have trouble right up here in this thing with sin? You've never allowed that sacrifice. You've never acknowledged that really unto God. To where He has purged your conscience.
Amen.
Brother Billy, some people, some Baptists, their conscience eats them alive. Let me read this and then I'm about to close. Hebrews 9:4, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. You know, people let their conscience drive them to suicide. People, God's people will let their conscience deprive them of some of the richest blessings of Christ. When that sacrifice has been given to purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. That's why some folks can't serve it. They're still in dead work. Pulse? That ain't pulse today? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Won't you come tonight? Won't you come tonight and tell the Lord all about your problems, heartaches, your grievances, bitterness, animosity? Get on this altar and let God purge your conscience of that mess. And leave here and say, by the grace of God, it's pulse for me from now on. Let's stand together.